Good. Okay. I know it's hard to wake up on a rainy day like today, but we're here and we're thankful. And today we are continuing on in our series of Goodwill Christmas, learning to be people of goodwill. So if I could ask you to turn to Luke chapter 2, and then also Romans chapter 5. And then we have a couple of passages we're going to go to in Romans as well. And I have a couple of passages that I'm just going to read to you that you don't have to turn to. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get right into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. I'm thankful for each person that's here this morning. I'm thankful, Lord, that as we celebrate this Advent season and await your coming, we know that you came the first time to come and lay down your life for us, and we're thankful for that. We know that we're now waiting for you to come again to bring us home to be with you. And until that day, Lord, we know that our calling as believers is to walk in a way that's in a manner that's pleasing to you. So we just pray, Lord, that you would just open our hearts and our minds to actually do that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So as Christmas approaches, we're studying through Luke 2, and we're learning about how to be people of goodwill. And today we're going to learn that people of goodwill make peace. People of goodwill make peace with other people. So if you look at Luke chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, it says this. Picking up in verse 12, it says, "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" So this heavenly host is praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." So this passage seems to be saying that we will experience peace if God is pleased with us. We will experience peace if God is pleased with us. So the first question that we're going to have to deal with in our life is, how do we please God? How do we please God? How do we please God and experience his peace? Well, the first way that we please God is we respond to the gospel message. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And the first way that we're going to please God is respond to the gospel message. Now, the gospel message is something that we hear each week here. Most programs here that we do, we preach the gospel because that's what the church is all about. The church is about the gospel message. So in Romans chapter 5, it kind of helps us to understand our need for the gospel message. In Romans chapter 5, it starts off in verse 1 and says this, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Then jump down to verse 6. It says this, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." So what Paul is doing in this passage in Romans is he's explaining, we're justified by faith in Christ. We're justified by faith in Christ. It teaches us that we were not at peace with God. We were not at peace with God. By nature, we were not at peace with God. All of us are sinners. All of us have sin, and because of our sin and because pursuing our sinful lifestyles, we were not at peace with God. We actually were set up as enemies of God. But Jesus was willing to come to this earth and pay the price, die on the cross for us, for his enemies. The truth is that Jesus Christ was willing to make reconciliation, to actually repair the relationship, the broken relationship that we had with God, and actually come down to this earth and sacrifice himself for our sins. See, sin actually separates us from God. It keeps us from having a relationship with God. And because those sins need to be paid for, someone has to pay. You've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. If Jesus doesn't pay for your sins, who does? You do, okay? We pay for our own sins. But when Jesus came, he was actually dying for us. He was actually paying with his blood. He was taking the wrath of God upon himself and paying for our sins. See, the scripture says that we were his enemies. And here's what he did for his enemies. The scripture actually says this in the passage. It actually says that no one's really going to die for their enemies. And that no one would, it's scarce that somebody would even die for somebody who's a good person or maybe their friend. But Jesus was willing to lay down his life for all of us so that we can be reconciled with God. If you caught this, so that we could have peace with God. So the message of the scriptures is simply this, that we were all sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. He came down to lay down his life on my behalf and on your behalf. And the scriptures tell us this, we're justified by faith. All who believe will have eternal life. Now, maybe some of you haven't come to that conclusion in your life yet. This is a question you have to ask yourself. What are you doing with Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? What do you say about Jesus? Do you trust him for your salvation? But I know that many of you have believed in Jesus. You have trusted in Jesus. But you have people in your life that need prayer because they haven't believed in Jesus. This Christmas season, their eyes might be open to the fact that Jesus is who he says he is, did what he said he did, and maybe they'll come to Christ. And you're in their life to continue to pray for them, to help them to understand that. But do you know this isn't a new concept that Jesus came to die for our sins? This isn't like something that all of a sudden, like we open up the New Testament and are like, wow, this is new information. It's not. These are things that were foretold through the prophets. Isaiah 53:5 says it this way, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement, the punishment that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. This was always the plan. God wanted to make peace with us. And he knew that the only way that he could have peace with us is if there was the ultimate sacrifice. So his son Jesus was willing to be that sacrifice for us. When we respond in faith, we are guaranteed eternal peace with God in heaven. And guess what? That pleases God. That's what God wants for you. That's how God is going to be pleased with you when you trust him. It's basically like this. If you could put it down in the most simplest form, God has a gift for you, and he is pleased when you receive the gift. He is not pleased when you reject the gift. When you reject the gift, he's not pleased. When you receive the gift, he is pleased. But the next way that God is pleased with us is when we experience God's peace in this life. Now, many Christians get tripped up here because they have peace with God, or we have peace with God as far as our salvation is concerned. We know, okay, yeah, I'm going to heaven. Okay, when I pass from this earth, I'm going to heaven. I trust in Jesus. I have faith in Jesus. I know I'm going to heaven. But you know what? Many Christians, maybe this is you, don't grab hold of the earthly benefits of that peace to live your life every day. In other words, there's many Christians out there that are just miserable people without peace. They're like, you talk to them and they're like, yeah, I believe in Jesus. And you're like, well, don't seem like it. Okay? Like, you're not filled with joy. There's no peace in your life. You're a wreck. Like, it just doesn't seem like, you know, I'm not going to doubt what you tell me. But what I'm seeing here does not seem to be anything that like represents somebody who believes in Jesus. This is why there are so many Christians that feel purposeless. They feel anxious. They feel powerless. They have no peace. Maybe that's you. Well, here's what happens. How can we experience the benefits of God's peace in this life? We have to ask ourselves that. How can I experience the benefits of God's peace in this life? And this is so important because our main goal today is going to be make peace with other people, being goodwill people to make peace with other people. But this is so important to understand because if we don't have peace here, We're never going to have peace out there, right? I mean, you see people every day that are miserable. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you live with them. Maybe you go to work with them. Maybe you see them on the road when you're driving to work. People just seem to be miserable. And you realize this, when they cause a problem, when they cause an issue, when things are going wrong in your relationship with them or they lash out at you, you realize it's not just about you. You understand that, right? It's about what's going on here. So if we can't get our act together here, if we don't have peace here, we're never going to have peace with the people around us. 14th century author Thomas Kempis said it this way. He said, first, keep the peace within yourself. Then you can also bring peace to others. You get that? So the first order of business is we have to be at peace within ourselves. So the first way we can experience God's peace, and really that gives us peace to live this life, is the first way is we need to have confidence in Jesus. We need to have confidence in Jesus. Well, what do I mean by that? John 14:27, Jesus says it simply this way. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So you know what? Jesus gives us peace, and it's his desire that we feel and experience that peace. When we have confidence in him, we realize that we have purpose and God has a will for our lives. Know that when you have confidence in Jesus, you have to have confidence that he has a purpose for you and he has a will for your life. When things don't go the way that we want them to go, which seems to happen more than we like, right? If we're honest, when things don't go the way that we want them to go, like you don't get the job you wanted, like the relationship you desired doesn't materialize, when things don't work out, when an opportunity that we really want doesn't pan out for us, we can still have peace because our confidence is in Jesus. You get that? You can still have peace because your confidence is in Jesus. Jesus said this, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. I have a will. I have a plan for you. When you wake up in the morning, you can say to yourself, you know what? I really wanted this to happen. I really wanted this job. I really wanted this relationship. I really wanted to have peace here. I really wanted this, that, and the other thing. You can say all these things. But then you can know when you have confidence in Jesus, I'm still here. God has a purpose for me. God has a will for me. Think about it this way. If you were standing before a very important person, like a president, a king, somebody who is very important, and they looked at you and pointed at you and said this, I have a purpose for you. What would you be like? You'd be like, okay, tell me what it is. I'll do it because you're important. The God of this universe, every morning that you wake up, is looking at you saying, I have a purpose for you. I have a purpose for you. Have confidence in that. I have a purpose for you. You're up today because I have a purpose for you. Your life matters. You are important. You're here to do something for me. So take peace in that. Have confidence in Jesus. The next way is we go to Jesus for comfort. You know, life can be filled with trouble, stressful situations, uneasy feelings, loneliness, worry. But listen to what Paul said. Paul said in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, very popular passage, he said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, present your requests. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, Paul's instructing us, when you don't have peace to go on, go to Jesus for comfort. When you don't have peace, when there's trouble, when things are going wrong in your life, don't get anxious about those things. Bring those things to him. Oftentimes, we take matters into our own hands by worrying about them and overthinking them. I know some of you are plagued with this. You can't stop obsessing over something. Your mind just goes. You wake up at 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and you just think, oh, no, what's up? What about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? And you never get to the point where you just say, you know what? I just have to bring this to Jesus. Let me just tell you something about that phrase, bring this to Jesus, because we use that in Christianity a lot, right? Bring it to Jesus, give it to Jesus. I just want to tell you, he already has it, it's already brought to him. You're just not letting him. You're just saying, I'm keeping this. He already has it. He knows what's going on. He knows the beginning from the end. So what he's saying is, don't be anxious. What Paul's saying, when you wake up at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning and you're worried about all these things, here's what you need to do. You need to talk to Jesus about those things. You need to talk to him. Worrying about it is not going to bring peace. Someone once said it this way, worry does not take away tomorrow's troubles. It takes away today's peace. You get that? Jesus said you can't add an hour or a minute to your life by worrying about something. You're not going to change it. You're not going to control it. You think that extra thought and effort on that issue is going to heal it. It's not. And I'm not saying you don't plan and prepare and try to troubleshoot for problems. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is this. Paul says, you know what? Don't overthink it. Don't be over anxious about it. Bring it to me. And here's what I love. And I've talked about this so many times before. Here's what I love. It says, the peace that passes all understanding. You know what? We come to that point where we're just like, I'm at peace with this. I don't understand why, but Paul told me I'm not supposed to, okay? I don't understand how I could be at peace with this. And that's why when you see people that go through very difficult situations and they really have a relationship with the Lord and they really have peace with the Lord and you look and you say, I don't even know how they got through that. You're not even supposed to know. Paul's saying this is a miraculous peace that comes over you, that transcends all understanding, that surpasses all understanding. Don't worry about understanding it. Just bask in it. Just enjoy that peace. When we take everything to him by prayer, we'll experience that peace. The last way we experience God's peace is we draw on Jesus's power. Now, Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Now, there's 9 fruits of the Spirit, so if you went to Galatians 5:22, you'll find out all those, but I want to focus in on this. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Like, when you become a Christian, when we become a Christian, we get the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit. One of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life is bring us peace. He doesn't want us to be confused. He doesn't want us to be anxious. He doesn't want us to be, you know, all over the place. He wants us to have peace. So at the moment of salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. And one of the benefits is that he gives us the power to have peace and make peace with other people. What should be coming out of a Christian is peace. So drawing on his power will be necessary to accomplish our goal today of being a person of goodwill that makes peace. Because you can't and I can't make peace on our own with other people. It's going to take something divine. It's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit. And some of you right now are thinking, you are right. Because the person in my life that I don't have peace with, the only thing that will ever wake them up is God's divine intervention. And that's the truth. So what I want you to do now is we're gonna answer this next question. This brings us to the second question. It's how can I make peace with others? Now, I want you to do this for yourself. I mean, maybe it's a group of people you don't have peace with. Maybe it's one person you don't have peace with. Maybe they live in your house. Maybe you work with them. Maybe they're a friend. I want you to just think about a person maybe that you don't have peace with right now. And if there's nobody, thank the Lord for that, okay? Thank the Lord for that. And file these things because you will run into a person that you don't have peace with at some point. So I want you to think about a person that you don't have peace with right now. And you might feel like peace with that person is impossible. You might feel like that right now. You might feel like, oh man, there's no way. Well, let me just encourage you because with man, things are impossible. With God, what? Things are possible. But what I want to teach you to do is something that's for you. When you stand before the Lord, you're going to know I did right before the Lord. When God sees you, he is pleased with how you responded and how you acted. So the first thing we need to do is we need to choose peace. We need to choose peace. Colossians 3:15 says it this way. He says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. So he's saying this, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. So it's an action thing. He's saying you need to choose peace. Oftentimes, peace is our choice, isn't it? It is our choice to let the peace of God rule in our hearts, or it's our choice to be bitter and angry. And you know how to make that choice, don't you? Because some days, that person that you don't have peace with, you're just like, oh, and this is what they did again. And you mentally play those things. And why you're justified in being angry and bitter at that person. We all do this, don't we? Because it's part of the way we are. We know that we have peace available for us. But what Paul is saying in Colossians, he's saying, you got to let it rule in your heart. You got to take hold of it. You got to choose to do it. So when we wake up, our attitude should be, today, I'm going to choose to be peaceful. If that person says or does something that gets under my skin, if that person says or does something that I want to respond the way I normally respond, I'm going to say, no. I'm going to choose to be peaceful. I'm going to choose a better way. I'm going to choose the high road. It really starts with a choice. And when you make the choice, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be challenged because not everything will go the way that you think it should go, or the person you're dealing with didn't make that same choice. Oh, man. Maybe they were even a Christian, and they still didn't make that same choice. So now you're dealing with a person or a group of people that didn't make that same choice, so you're challenged now. Because you got up this morning, you say, I'm going to choose peace. And then they did something wrong. You're like, well, that went out the window. Okay? And it shouldn't be that way. So the next thing we have to do to make peace is this. We have to seek peace. Because there's going to be challenge. Our peace will be challenged. And we're going to seek peace. Now in Psalm 34:14, it says this. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Do you know what? The lack of peace comes from the presence of sin. That's where it comes from. If there is sin involved, there's going to be turmoil. The lack of peace comes from the presence of sin. So when we respond to people around us in sinful ways, we're actually not seeking peace. They may have done something sinful to us and wronged us, so our response is going to be sin back. And you know what? I know we feel justified in our response when people wrong us, but it's still wrong. You get that? If you respond to sin in a sinful way, it's still wrong. God's not like, okay, well, I get it, okay? He's not like that, okay? No, you're responsible to act and interact and respond in the way that God desires you to respond. I mean, Jesus even said it. He said, what credit is it if you love someone that loves you? You know what I mean? Like, that's the easy stuff, okay? It's easy to love the people that are nice to us and encourage us. We love them, right? Okay, it's the people that are annoying and make our life miserable that are the difficult ones. So Paul says in Romans 14:19, he says, so then let us pursue what makes peace and for mutual upbuilding. So now he's saying, when we seek after peace, it builds the other person up. But guess who else it builds up? It builds us up in our maturity. Have you ever done that? Have you ever taken the high road in a situation? Feels pretty good, doesn't it? I'm not saying it feels pretty good for the prideful, pat yourself on the back aspect. I'm saying, like, you're just like, yeah, you know what? It was kind of like, that was like a little trial. That was like a little test for me. And you know what? I'm glad I passed that one. I'm glad I took the high road. I know that I normally would have said this or did this in response, but you know what? I'm trying to seek peace in this situation. I'm trying to do the right thing. But it's not always easy, right? It takes work. And that's why the next thing we have to do to make peace is we actually have to strive for peace. Let's look at, or I'm just going to read Hebrews 12:14 to you. It says this, strive for peace with everyone. And for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Let me read that again. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. You know what? Striving is making a great effort. Have you ever heard success stories of people? Maybe you turn on TV or you write a book. No great success story is somebody who's like, yeah, it wasn't even hard, okay? I just gave up, like I quit. That's not a success story. It never is. The success stories are people that work hard. Our goal should be peace with other people, even if it means hard work. We don't just shrug it off and say, this doesn't work. I'm not doing this anymore. Hebrews says, strive for it. Strive for it. Work on it. You're going to work on this relationship. You're going to work on what's going on here. But in this passage, it's interesting. Because when we work on it, when we strive for it, notice what it said in Hebrews. It says, without which no one will see the Lord. You know what? When you work on it, it's a testimony issue. People see the Lord working in you. You know what? They might be so far away from the Lord. They might be, their heart might be as hard as stone. Their eyes might be so dark. But when you strive for peace, when you don't return evil for evil, but you return good, all of a sudden, something starts to happen. People look and say, I deserve to be treated bad. A lot of times people will treat you bad, like expecting the response of bad treatment. But then all of a sudden now here you come and you're striving for peace. People see the Lord. Maybe part of making peace with another person is waking them up. Maybe God has you in that person's life right now. Maybe there's somebody at work that's just miserable. And they're trying to make your life miserable because they're miserable, because we know that hurt people, right? Miserable people make other people miserable. Maybe your calling in their life is to be a good testimony so that they see Jesus. I don't know, but it might be for you. That might be your purpose. That might be why God tapped you on the shoulder and woke you up this morning. He said, I have a purpose for you. And you're going to make peace with that person. And they're going to see me through you. And it's going to be amazing. And in a year from now, you're going to be sharing with your friends, wow, that person became a Christian, and I couldn't stand that person. And now they're a Christian because I strive to have peace with them. The next way we make peace is we bless others. Now, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. There's a passage I want to read to you, Romans chapter 12. And I want you to see it with your own eyes because it really just sums up how we really bless others to achieve peace. Romans chapter 12, picking up in verse 14. And you'll recognize a lot of these verses because I've quoted them before and you've probably heard them in many other teachings. Romans chapter 12, verse 14 says this, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So much there. I could do a whole entire message. I think I have done a whole entire message on this passage. But the summation of it is this. Bless those that curse you. Live in harmony with one another. Don't repay evil for evil. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with other people. Don't try to get others back for what they did. God in his justice system will take care of that. When people look at that, they're like, oh man, that's where God gets mad, right? The Lord says, vengeance is mine, okay? Everybody looks and says, oh, that doesn't seem right. But here's what you have to think. Here's God's justice system. When we sin, apart from Christ, as unbelievers, when a person's an unbeliever, when you sin, you pay for your sin, right? Okay, you're eternally responsible for your sin. So the Lord says, vengeance is mine. You're going to pay for that. But when we sin in Christ, the Lord says, vengeance is mine. Who pays? Jesus pays. So now we're dealing with these people, and we look, and we have to say, they've sinned against me. The Lord in his justice system is going to take care of it. Because if they're not a Christian, they're going to pay for that. They're going to pay for that. But if they are, praise God because Jesus paid for them. Praise God because Jesus paid for them. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. Don't return evil for evil. He's got this all taken care of. If there's somebody that you don't have peace with, he's got it all taken care of. You don't worry about it. Here's what you need to be concerned about. You need to be concerned about you doing the right thing. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here's what that's saying. It's two-part for us, isn't it? Don't be overcome by evil, meaning don't let that evil overcome you and have you act in evil ways, but actually act in good ways to overcome the evil that's inside you. But maybe, just maybe, when you act in a good way towards another person, it'll actually wake them up to the evil that they're committing. See how this all works? It's always the high road. Not one person, I don't care what faith, what their belief system is, can look at this passage and say, this is bad advice. They can't. They just can't look at this and say, this is bad advice. It's great advice, because here's what you're doing. You're taking somebody who you're not at peace with, and you're saying, my goal is to bless them. Nobel Peace Prize winner Nelson Mandela said it this way: if you want to make peace with your enemy, you have to work with your enemy. Then they become your partner. Here's what happens. When you pursue somebody who is just nasty to you, when you pursue somebody who's doing wrong toward you and doesn't have you in best interest, here's what happens. You win them over. You win them over. And if you don't, here's what it says in the passage. You heap burning coals on their head. What in the world does that mean? That doesn't sound nice, okay? Here's what it means. Basically, you make them start to realize, man, I can't believe I've been so terrible to this person, and they're so nice to me. It's like a shot. In a sense, they're like, what? I can't believe this. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're a Christian today because some Christian stepped out and said, I'm going to do good to you, even though you are a pain. You are annoying. You are the person that I don't want to be around, but I'm going to do good to you because that's what Jesus told me to do. And maybe you're woken up now because of that. We all could agree that the world needs a little more goodwill, couldn't we? But maybe right now you feel like, you know what? I've done my best. I've done my best with the power of God to bring peace with a person, and they are not responding in a godly way, or things just don't seem to be working. I can't be around them. They are a toxic person. I don't want to be around them. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to see them on Facebook. I don't want to see them anywhere. I just want them out of my life. Maybe that's where you are right now. And I don't blame you for being there, because it's frustrating, right? When you have a person in your life like that, it is frustrating. Here's what you need to do. You need to ask God for wisdom. You need to ask God for wisdom. Every situation is different, isn't it? But here's what James 3, 17 through 18 says. It says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You need to go to God for wisdom. God, what should I do in this? I feel like I've checked every box. I feel like I've done everything. Well, here's what you need to do. You need to ask God, God, what's the next step? I'm not really sure here. What is the next step? I can't even fill in those blanks for you because I don't know your situation. But I do know this. When you ask God for wisdom, he's going to give you the pure, the peaceable, the gentle, the open to reason, the full of mercy, the full of good fruits. He's going to give you those answers. He's going to help you navigate the situation and what's right for you in the situation. See, if God sees that you are seeking his wisdom, he rewards that. If he sees that you're seeking, like you just want to give it the best you can, he rewards that. And here's the result. Here's the result. Some of you might remember this passage, Matthew 5, 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. This doesn't mean we're made children of God because we're peacemakers. Notice what it says. They will be called children of God. When you come bearing peace with other people see that you actually belong to Jesus. That's what it's all about, right? If you want to be a person of goodwill, you want people to know who your Father is. You want people to know who your Father is. So if you continue to try to make peace, people will see that because that's the end goal. The end goal isn't necessarily us having a peaceful relationship as much as it's other people seeing who we belong to, and who we belong to is the one who actually gives peace. People of goodwill make peace. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. Lord, I pray for all these people that are here this morning, for all of us. I pray, Lord, that we make peace with other people, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the relationship is, whether it's work, family, friend. During this time of year, we're well aware that we want to shed goodwill towards others. And if we could just imagine ourselves in a situation where first and foremost, we're thinking about how our testimony can impact another person and how we can bring eternal peace to them through them trusting in you. But Lord, I pray that we benefit from the peace that you give us so that we have peace within ourselves so that we can make peace with the people around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join us in worship.